This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Frederick, Maryland is the new home for singer-songwriter David Arn. He has released four albums over the last 10 years, including his latest, Watershed. His music has been featured on NPR stations, BBC Radio, and he was even featured once on Delta Airlines commercial flights. David rejoins us on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about his latest music and what's ahead in his musical career.
Hi, David. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Greg. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, good to talk to you again. It's been a little while. I'm thinking maybe a year and a half or so. If I remember correctly, the last time you and I talked, were you in Virginia Beach?
You got that right. You've got a good memory.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It was actually, I think, pre-COVID. I just put out Traveler Tales.
It was, and, Late, about this time in 2019, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah,
wow.
That's right.
And okay.
And then everything just kind of went to hell, you know.
Right.
Everything stopped is what it was. What happened.
Well, I'm glad you're still out there strumming and singing, and it's good to reconnect.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not in Virginia anymore. I moved.
I saw the notes. You're actually closer. I don't know. You kind of swung around. I'm in Virginia. I was going to say you're closer to me, but you're on the other side, up in Maryland. Right?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, out in Frederick County. And so that's been, we've been in Virginia for, oh my gosh, probably about 35 years. That was another, I think, casualty of COVID, you know.
Yeah.
We rethought some things, and I hated to leave. I remember from our conversation last time, you really, I could tell you knew your stuff because I said I was from Virginia Beach, and all of a sudden you gave me like three or four names. So, you know this person here at Birdland? You know this person here?
Right.
You know, you just, it was like right at the tip of your tongue, you know.
Yeah.
You just really had a, you know, like a vast knowledge of what was going on.
Yeah,
so that's
cool.
That's great.
Yeah.
So we like it a lot up here.
Yeah. What brought you to Maryland?
Well, it was a combination of some things. There were some personal reasons, mm-hmm. And also we have a daughter that lives here, and she had our first grandchild, and I kind of really underestimated the pull of that, you know, when all of a sudden everybody was telling me that we were moving, and I said, I'm going to live and die in this house in Virginia. I am not moving at all.
Oh.
And the next thing I know, we were, you know, somebody was coming and packing up all my stuff.
Oh.
So
I'm not sure I want to hear the rest of this story or not, because I'm teetering on the same spot that you are. So.
Yeah. Well, what's your situation?
Well, we have grandchildren, and they're not as far away. So I have a little bit of a defense for myself. But you know, of course, my wife, women enjoy their grandchildren differently, and she just loves them and would love the chance to be closer. So I understand the pull.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, before we had a grandchild, you know, all our friends, you know, every Christmas, you know, they send me 20 photographs of their grandkids. And, you know, it just really was changing their personality.
Yeah.
And then I said, oh, I'm never going to be like that, you know, but I certainly am, yeah. You know, is what happens. But we like it quite much.
Yeah.
Quite much up here. It's been good. Good place, you know. To be.
So the last time we talked, you were enjoying the fruits of Traveler Tales. Traveler Tales or Traveler's Tale?
It's Traveler Tales.
Traveler Tales,
is
yeah.
What, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and so, you know, we're a couple years later and you're working on new music. Before we get there, though, for the folks that maybe didn't get a chance to hear a conversation the last time, give me a little bit of the Reader's Digest version of your story and how your music got started. I think you had a father, a grandfather, that was really into the piano, right?
He played professionally. I mean, that's really how I got started, okay. I guess, introduction to music was the fact that there was always a piano in the house.
Okay.
And I remember getting lessons very early, and so that was a big influence, you know. It just kind of stuck, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That from there just developed a love for music, and at one point, maybe when I was like 12 or 13 years old, I just and really had been studying classical music for a long time. It was like I probably listened to my first rock and roll song, and then I said, I don't think I want to play the classical music anymore. and just kind of stopped, you know.
Yeah.
But I had enough of a background that I could easily make the transition.
Yeah.
Because I remember even in high school I would have classmates come up and they would hear a song on the radio and say, could you figure out the chords for this song for us, you know? And
yeah.
I just had an ability to play by ear, you know, and so yeah. I could just write it out for them, you know, and say, okay, this is what it is. So it just, I don't know, it just kind of nurtured something in me that, you know, that I responded to. But that's how I got started there, and then picked up a guitar one day and didn't really have any formal lessons at all, but just started playing the guitar. I'm not a lead guitarist at all, but I can keep up rhythmically, you know.
Yeah.
And make it pass and things like that.
And you did the high school rock band thing, and
I did all of that, and even in college I was playing, and then I just stopped for a while because of obligations to family and kids and things like that. You know, it's like I had to had rent to pay.
Right.
And so I had stopped for a long time. And then 10 years ago, it was 10 years ago that I put out my first album.
Wow.
And it's been I've done 4 albums since then. And it's kind of the thing that you know, you learn as you go along.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
You know, is what it is. I've been lucky enough to work with some really good people, and as you and I were talking before about, you know, when you first started doing your magazine, you learn things as you go along.
Sure.
And
yeah.
You do it for so many years. What happens is that each time you come to a new place of wisdom, you know,
right,
saying, "Well,
right.
I've already paid my dues on that. I'm not going to repeat those mistakes again. Here's how I'm going to do it going forward," you know.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing that kind of happened with the music. I just, when I was in Virginia Beach, there was a really good recording studio there that worked with all the major labels. A fellow by the name of Rob Ulsh ran that place, and he had recorded, still does record a lot of good people. And he kind of took me under his wing, and it was like taking a college course, you know. I just said,
right.
"Do you mind if I just sit here behind you and watch what you're doing?"
Yeah.
And that was just a really valuable experience to see how you kind of put it together, you know. And I think I'm kind of analytical in that way, almost to a fault, in the fact that I feel like I have to have all the answers before I start.
What led you to the first record? When the adulting phase of your life kind of took a little bit of a backseat, and you, how did What led you to the idea of creating the first one?
The adulting. I love that word. yes, that's great. Well, it's I don't know what it was. I think it was probably a combination of events that my wife said to me, "You don't play the piano much anymore."
Hmm.
And we were out someplace and she saw this electric piano and she said, "I am going to buy that for you." And she did. And
really?
We had it in the house and I started playing again because I had a baby grand that was out of tune so much that I didn't even enjoy playing it anymore. And then with the electric piano, that really kind of opened up a whole new world for me.
Yeah.
And I think, this is going to sound so crazy, but I remember my daughter was visiting one day, and she and my wife were going to go out shopping, and I was there playing the piano, and my daughter says, "Write us a song, Dad."
Hmm.
And so they were gone for about 2 hours, and they came back. I said, "Okay, I wrote you a song."
Wow.
And they said, "You know, that's not too bad." So then
was that the first song? Had you dabbled in that in the past?
No, I just started writing.
That was it.
Okay. Yeah. But I see, I had always been involved in the creative process in
sure.
some way by doing a lot of writing.
Yeah.
I mean, I know how the process works. I never just did a song, and I would never want anybody to really hear that song. It was just, you know, it was just like, "Oh yeah, I can do this." And again, it was just, I think I was talking to my brother and, I said, I'm going to record a song and put it out there, see if I can get it on the radio. And my brother said to me, "Oh, really?" You know, like, yeah, I said, I'm going to do that. And the thing about it was, I did a song, I recorded it, I set it out, and a couple stations played it.
Wow.
And the weird thing is, and this is just doesn't happen, you know. But Delta Airlines picked up the song and played it for a month on their played the song on all their commercial flights, and it was just the ASCAP got in touch with me, sent me an email and said, "Did you write the such and such song?" And I said, "Yes, I did." And they said, "Well, we've got a check here for you."
We owe you some money.
Yes, so I got a check for $750.
Wow,
for that crazy. For that song,
yeah.
Because they played it for a month. I said, "My God, this is easy," you know. No, but it was just like I
can
really
you send
had,
me the blueprint so I can do it again? Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't even you just tell that story to people. It's just like they don't believe it. You
yeah,
know? Is what happened. But it just. I got some really good reinforcement in the beginning.
Sure, yeah.
I did not know anything at all.
Yeah.
On my first recording that I did, there's no auto-tune on that. There's no synthetic samples or anything
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
I created the whole thing myself and worked with Rob Ulsh down in Virginia Beach. And through a lot of hours, we just kind of put it together. And then, you know, you kind of learn as you go along,
right.
You know, you come to a new place of wisdom. And I was fortunate enough to be able to go over to London and work with two different engineers at Abbey Road. And you work with them for a while on some of your songs. Again, you learn new stuff.
Right.
You know, you learn new tricks on how to put it together.
Right.
And so it's just been for 10 years. It's been a lot of work. It's been a lot of heavy lifting. And then on the current album that I've done for Watershed, that was really done right in the dark heart of COVID,
mm-hmm.
you know, when everything was shut down.
Yeah, like a lot of other musicians, same thing.
Yeah, I just didn't know what to do. So I decided, I don't know whether it was a decision or not, but I said, I'm just going to put out some acoustic songs, guitar, piano, keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
There's not going to be a lot of overproduction here, but it's just how I was feeling at the time.
Yeah.
You know, because we're kind of coming out of COVID now, and I think people's memory may be short, but you know, when it first happened and all those people were dying and everything, we didn't know what was going on.
Right.
You know,
right.
Everybody was staying in their house and wearing a mask and everything like that. So that's what really gave birth to Watershed. Was I just started exploring some themes that were really more personal.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the road on that, I almost was not going to put it out.
Really?
When we started recovering from COVID and I sat back and I looked at the songs, I said, nobody's going to play these songs. Nobody is going to want to hear these songs.
Wow.
Because they're a little bit too, might be a little bit too personal. The main song, Watershed,
mm-hmm.
Is really a song that deals with, PTSD,
right.
You know, and I had some personal experiences, not my own, but in the family,
mm-hmm.
and I felt like I was really compelled to write about that as a theme. You know, I wanted to put that out there.
Mm.
And it's not something, it's not a song that you really dance to, you know.
Well, right, but you're also touching on, I mean, I've heard psychiatrists and philosophers suggest that the entire world is suffering mild PTSD at the moment because, you know, everybody's thinking, hoping, wishing that we'd get back to whatever their version of normal was, and we haven't, you know, and may not. And that's very disturbing to a lot of people. And so the song probably touches the circumstances might not be the same, but the emotions behind PTSD probably are touching a lot of people right now in that song.
Well, I think you're right, Greg. I think that that's what happens is that it's not something that gets a lot of attention. I know the government has really been doing a lot more than what they used to, but just so much of that just gets swept under the rug.
It does,
you know?
Yeah.
And it's the kind of situation, even before they had a name for it, I had a grandfather that was in World War I. He fought in France and mustard gas, lost all of his hair, had problems with that.
Yeah.
He came back, he got married, he had five kids, and about 15 years later, he couldn't go to work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
his mind was back in France someplace.
Yeah.
Nobody knew what that was at that
sure,
time.
Yeah.
But as I, you know, as I've matured, I hear more and more stories. I knew of a fellow in New York, had a really good job for a big bank in Manhattan, and you know, got into his 50s, and then the same thing happened to him one day.
Yeah.
You know, from the Vietnam, he couldn't go to work anymore.
Yeah,
and I knew his daughter pretty well, and the last thing I know, he had quit his job, and he was smoking dope with the high school kids. That was his life. You know,
that's sad.
And how do you fall from grace like that?
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
What happens? And so it was that and a couple of the situations.
Yeah.
That really, I felt like I wanted to write a song about that, but it was really from a hopeful point of view. It's not about, the world is full of dread here. Don't you agree with me?
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not about that at all.
And that song title is Watershed, right? That's the one.
Yeah, that's water. Yeah, that's Watershed.
Yeah.
And so I put that together, and that was actually the first track that I wrote. And
when did the album officially come out?
It just came out in March.
Okay. So you're still writing the fresh music, releasing tracks still?
Yeah. Excuse me. It's I said March. I meant to say September.
Okay.
September.
Okay. So it's real fresh.
It's still fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still. I've been doing lots of interviews and lots of talking to people about it and just kind of gradually releasing videos on it.
How's it been received overall? What are you getting?
Well, surprisingly, surprisingly good. It's been a real learning for me. You know, the album I didn't want to release.
Right. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it was just such an outpouring from people.
Yeah.
About the music and you know, I release it through CD Baby, and they get in touch with me and says, send us more CDs. Like in 2 weeks, they sold out of the inventory that they had. I mean, it's not, talking about hundreds of CDs,
sure, but yeah.
In a time when nobody buys CDs anymore.
Right, right.
I thought, well, that's pretty encouraging.
Well, and we're in an era, I think, where artists, you know, if you take the pop top 40 rock country, you know, out of the mix, a lot of artists like yourself are finding that the storyteller aspect is attractive to a certain audience, and so you develop your own audience that appreciate. It's almost like writing a book. Your album, every new CD is like your next novel or whatever you want to call it. But you're telling a set of stories, and you have a certain audience that likes the way you tell stories. And I think that's the future, at least of singer-songwriter, folk Americana kind of music, is developing a niche of listeners instead of readers that appreciate the stories that you tell and how you tell them.
You are so correct on that. And I can just give you some examples. The fact that when I first started out, I was shooting for the wrong profile. You know, I was looking for that 25 to 40 year old. That's who I was looking for, right. You know. And I said, put me on playlists with those people there. That's who I want. And I was not attracting those kind of people.
Right.
I was attracting older people. Okay, that grew up with the same kind of music that I grew up with, and when you started listening to them, you know, I was chasing all those familiar things like, please subscribe to my YouTube channel, you know, and I get responses from people like from the older people like. Well, how much does it cost to subscribe?
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah.
Or I'm saying, please, you know, put me on your Spotify playlist.
Right.
These people are not listening to Spotify.
Yeah.
Spotify. To Spotify at all.
Yeah.
Even though Watershed, I understand, has had about 25,000 streams since it came out.
Yeah.
In September, which I'm very grateful for. But the people that I'm getting the response from on places like Facebook is that they're not listening to Spotify.
Yeah.
You know, that's not something that they're tuned into.
Yeah.
And
cool.
They're probably the only people that still have CD players,
right.
You know?
Yeah, well, you know what? I was talking to somebody the other day, and and I forget where they said that they had uncovered this data, but that had read that the CD was poised to make a comeback as well. People were looking for something tangible. You know, it's you put it out there as an MP3 in the ether somewhere, and you know, you don't really know where it's at. You know, you hopefully got the master in your safe somewhere, but people are looking, just like the vinyl, you know, they're looking for tangible. They're looking for something that they can hold in their hands and feel and watch. And it's a different experience. And so, yeah, maybe the CD sales are coming back too. That would be great.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right, though, because I know I went through that with this release. You know, I said, well, am I even going to put out a physical CD?
Yeah.
And I said, no, I said, I need to have something concrete.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Something that I can give to some people, you know, or give to a person, or I can sell to a person, and I have the illusion that they're going to listen to it more than one time,
right.
You know, whatever it is.
So the name of the album is Watershed, correct?
Yeah, Watershed,
and
that's
it's
correct.
Just out in September. Where can people track with you? How do you like to communicate the best? Website, all that kind of good stuff. What's the best way?
Well, of course, I've got a website, davidarn.com. Okay. I seem to have the most activity on my Facebook page. But I tell you, I've been very fortunate in the fact that I seem to get a lot of exposure online. So if somebody just Googles David Arn music or something like that, I think they're going to find a lot of hits. as to where they can find it. And I've got a YouTube channel that has quite a few videos on it. I think that is something else that I've really concentrated on, is put out a few good videos that have won film festivals and where they've had screenings. So we did one, Losing Track of Kimberly, during COVID. We did, it was actually screened in New York and Los Angeles.
Oh, that's cool.
And in London. So it was another way for me to get the music out there,
yeah,
you know, that they could see the animated video, which did really, really well.
Yeah.
So they can, the YouTube channel is a good place to go to kind of get an overview of what's going on.
Well, thank you, David. It's been so good to reconnect, and I'm glad you're still doing it and having success. And I love the tracks that I listened to on the new record. So I hope you have even more success with this one than you did with the one previous.
Greg, thanks so much, and thanks for taking the time to talk. You know, I always enjoy getting together with you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.